This book, the second novel, was one book out of 15 or 16 I've done so far that I enjoyed the most. It was one of those books where you can't wait to wake up in the morning and start again. There's a section in this, and it's a hodgepodge of all kinds of writing. There's a whole chapter of just poetry. And I decided at the time that when I got to chapter 4, it was going to be all poetry. And I was going to just write one poem after another till that chapter was over with. And that's the way it goes. So chapter 4 is called Flashback, The Fall of the Last Fireman. And as I look at these now, many years later, I see they're very anti-poetic. But the first one goes like this. I'm no poet. I want to make that clear at the beginning. I was thinking about this in the kitchen a little while ago, so I'm going to write this book of poems in the next few days just to show you. I was eating bacon and eggs and tearing off hunks of Bohemian rye bread the way my Hungarian grandfather used to. He would take a loaf of homemade bread and would hold it tight against the chest and then come across toward himself, slicing away into the heart with a knife he sharpened and kept hanging ready under the kitchen table. When he was full, he would chase Grandma through the basement with a knife and kill her as much as he liked. He was a poet who could not write and had no earthly use for words. You poets and all your big words, your river Lethe, your to be or not to be, your lovely dark and deep woods, all your promises, your social significance, we don't buy that shit back in Chicago. We got the greatest Irish ballad on four legs for a mayor. We got a police station named Shakespeare. We got Italian sonneteers who keep our waters and woods fresh with dead bodies. 1,004 gangland murders unsolved. 645 for the year of the family kind. We got a motto that says, I will and I do. We all do in Chicago. In 68, we pounded a poem out of flesh and the whole world sang without any help from you poets, your big words, and all your bullshit promises to keep. While thinking about not being a poet, about writing this book to show, I thought of how hard it must be to be a lady poet, or to be a Richard Everhart, or something called a Chiardi. How much practice, how much revisions, how much time to tear a poem from within and nail it to the wall for sale. How much suffering. Some poets, I'm told, suffer years of constipation, of forming a single word. So who am I to come along, loose enough to know better, no perfect words to show all the living and dying of my years? Poetry comes easy to some guys. They can look at the night and see dark. They can look at the day and see light. They can look at December and see death. They can look at April and see everlasting life. Poetry comes easy to some guys. They can open a door that leads to mystery. They can introduce a woman and sing sad long songs of love. They can hook a fish and see a rainbow. They can catch a live phoenix in ashes. Poetry comes easy to some guys. Me, I'm sitting here, heavy in an autumn sweat, studying the things these hands have done, striking 1,000 wooden matches that will not fire.